Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I need to lose weight. Diet. Deprivation. Misery. Ugh.
What if you could lose weight without feeling awful? R3 Weight Loss by Susan Torberg is the real food plan you've been dreaming about. No calorie counting or journaling. A doable plan for real life. With R3 Weight Loss, you'll break those sugar and carb cravings but still be able to eat things you love, teaching you discipline and managing your weight for life. Visit r3weightlossplan.com. $39 will change your life.
Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 194, wishing you abundant Advent blessings as we draw another week closer to the Feast of the Nativity, Christmas Day. And I hope by sharing that, it makes you feel warm and blessed and not stressed, because I'm more feeling the latter right now, which tells me that I need to make a holy hour. I need to go and sit in adoration, because when the noise and the busyness sets in, that is an automatic cue that we need to be still before the Savior. Also, celebrating the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is incredible. And there's a little known consecration that started in little barrios in Mexico, stemming from the most splendid devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe that I want to tell you about. My guest on today's show is going to explain this, and I can't tell you how excited I am. I've been literally waiting since June to bring you this story, so I hope you'll love it as much as I do. And that's coming up.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
Well, first, I just wanted to offer a heartfelt thank you for your feedback about last week's show with Dr. Ray Gurundy, Catholic clinical psychologist, author, speaker, obviously husband and father. The GTR Facebook page is not super active, but I did get a lot of emails about that program, particularly on the topic of smartphones and teens. And not surprisingly, the damage of technology. We talked about anxiety and the culture. And I just wish that there was a group forum for us to talk about these things too, because if we're not personally going through that challenge, we sure know a family that is. And I think it's just one of those issues that we need a platform to be able to hash these topics out with common ground. So that may be something we put together in the future. But in the meantime, don't be a stranger on the GTR page. You can find that and share your feedback and input there as well. Also wanted to take a moment to read an email from a listener regarding the Memento Mori show that was a few episodes back with Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. This email is from Melinda, and this is what she says. Dear Brooke, the timelessness of episode number 190 was more than coincidence. Last week, after listening to the review of the Cleveland Catholic Women's Conference, which I attended and loved, I thought I might have to take a break from GTR as my family is going through the agonizing experience of watching my oldest sister die. In July, my oldest sister, who is 56, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, stage 4. There are 8 of us siblings raised by amazing Catholic parents, and among my siblings and I, my parents have been blessed with 35 beautiful grandchildren. After the diagnosis, we prayed fervently to every blessed needing a miracle. We have said countless Divine Mercy chaplets, have done several novenas, and offered up so many masses. And yet, our loving Father is choosing to bring his daughter home very soon. While we all aspire to heaven, when we watch a loved one die, especially before they are really old, it challenges the very fiber of our faith and what we believe. It has been a struggle to accept that Chris is not going to survive on this side, but that she is being called home earlier than even my parents. So, when I saw the topic of the most recent podcast, I knew God was hard at work in yet another way to help me feel his presence in this very dark time. I had read a little recently about this practice of meditating upon one's death, and I realized that when we actually think of the passage into eternal life, so much of the fear about how, why, when it will happen to us or our loved ones is no longer relevant. I want to thank you for choosing this subject and for interviewing Sister Teresa Alethea. It was exactly what I needed to hear. Continued blessings in your ministry. And that is from Melinda. Amen. I think I speak with one voice when I say that we are entrusting your sister, her life, her soul, to the mercy of Jesus. And as I began that email, I thought immediately of the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the power of the graces of Divine Mercy. And because that was something in my dad's cancer journey and then through hospice that we just, like a blanket, head to toe covered him with, and they are already on it, it sounds like. So we join you in that chorus of prayer and petition and thanksgiving for the hope of heaven and the light in the darkness, which is what this season is all about. God bless you, Melinda.
Come, my long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free.
The reason for the season, our deliverer, Emmanuel, God with us. I've been reflecting a lot on this as we go through the season of Advent because we were putting together a fun little project video, which you'll be seeing soon. I'll post it on the Facebook page and as I'm able through the different social media platforms. But it's a special project with the Arise team ladies, our core team, as we wanted to put together a Christmas greeting as well as a New Year's greeting for our retreatants that are going to be coming to Arise 2020, June 5th through the 7th. And so each one of the ladies had an assignment to think about the power of Christ and when the potent graces were most acute this season in their life. And you know that didn't have anything to do with something necessarily wrapped or purchased or needing a receipt, just very often the quiet things. And so I've been thinking about that a lot. And to the treasures of our faith, which in times of crisis and confusion and uncertainty, I think are shining more brightly than ever. And that is the sacraments, that is the Eucharist, the rosary, the beautiful prayers we enjoy, also things like a Marian consecration. So that's what we're going to talk about today, especially celebrating Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the author today has an incredible story. I can't wait for you to not only hear her testimony, her witness, but what she'll share about this Mary's Mantle consecration. Her name is Christine Watkins, and she is a former anti-Christian atheist, big time, began a life of service for the church after a miraculous healing of Jesus through Mary, which saved her from death, specifically cancer. And as I consider Melinda's email, I am reminded of how God works in ways we cannot even fathom. And as Christine mentioned, certainly in an unbelievable way she never imagined herself. Before her conversion, she danced professionally with the San Francisco Ballet Company. Today, she is a Catholic speaker, hospice grief counselor, post-abortion healing director, and so much more. So excited to introduce you to Christine Watkins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. In this busy time of year, and we were both kind of joking because we've had to jump through some hoops, but we got it. We've got it together. So thank you. Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day is in December. We know that. But year round, you have offered such a gift in your Mary's Mantle consecration. So I want to talk about that. But before we get into this, what a miracle that this book ever came to be. Did you ever predict this 20 years ago? This would be a part of your life.
Never in 1 billion years did I predict such a thing.
For those that don't know your story, tell us a little bit about the new age atheistic path turned atomic bomb, yes, in your life.
Oh, I didn't know there even really, I knew there was a Jesus and a Mary, but only as I would know that there was Charlie Brown or right. some other fictional character. It wasn't a part of my life at all. I was raised in a family that told me there was no God. And so we all have a God-shaped hole inside of us that needs to, that cries out to be filled with something. We're always seeking something, something to make us happy, something yeah. to make us peaceful, something to make us whole. And so for me, that was ballet. And I practiced it diligently for years, and I ended up dancing with the San Francisco Ballet Company. I loved everything about it. And in that, I was fulfilled in the sense that all my drive and my passion went toward that. And I ended up with foot injuries. That took away my career, and I had 3 foot operations. But not only did it take away my career, it took away the only God I ever knew. And I grew depressed, and I lost hope. And in my sadness, I turned to intimate relationships for comfort, and I fell deeper and deeper and deeper into very serious sin. And I didn't think once to change my behavior. I ended up with cervical cancer and little time left to live. And my hair was falling out. I was bleeding internally. I couldn't keep food down. I didn't have enough energy even to walk across the street. But worse than being sick inside my body, I was so very sick inside my soul. And at times I would cry out in this guttural despair. And when the tears started to flow, they just wouldn't stop. And I was looking into New Age spirituality for answers. Mm-hmm. And I wanted absolutely nothing to do with Jesus and Mary. I really was repulsed by them. I didn't like the names or images of Jesus.
Wow.
But Jesus decided to save me, a sinner, and I don't know why he chose me, and there just aren't words to express my gratitude. But one day, I was with a friend. He was Catholic. He was praying for me. Had I known he was Catholic, I probably would have subtly persecuted him.
So yes. It sounds like in the beginning, as we're listening, and you mentioned Charlie Brown, and just that there went from Jesus and Mary, yes, you know Jesus and Mary, like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, to actually you're repulsed by any sort of spirituality, Christian spirituality, Christ
yes.
himself. So why do you think that was? I know you talk a lot about spiritual warfare. Do you think that was going on in your spirit?
100% that was going on. There were different factors. One is I was so demonized. Later on, this man, Joseph, who helped to save me, he said I was a way station of demons. So the New Age and sex outside of marriage made me just filthy with demons. Just so when you're demonized that way, they are seeing the world through the eyes of those demons. And so how do those demons feel about the images and names of Jesus and Mary? They hate them.
Mm-hmm.
So the hatred could come up even without one knowing why. There's such a repulsion. And so had you asked me why I hated them so much, I would have probably said something like, well, they're duping people. It's not real. And that's exactly what I was taught as a child. My dad would wear a decal of Jesus's face to make fun of it at Easter as a joke.
Oh.
And I remember being a kid, seeing a creche scene at Christmas time saying, isn't that beautiful? What is it? Oh, it's a story. It's a fairy tale. It's not real. And so for people believing it and saying, oh, I found Jesus, I was so embarrassed for them.
You pitied them, probably.
I did. I just wanted to crawl under my seat and think, how could they publicly say that? It's so embarrassing. Oh. They must lost a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something and been in great need.
When you do study spiritual warfare, there are different levels of demonic activity. We know that the more that it's interesting because I think when you see evil, it makes you believe in God. There's so much that we can't see with our eyes in the realm. And I know your latest book goes so much into this and prophecy and all these things that are happening, but this transition, it sounds like wasn't going to be an easy one for you, but God bless your friend who stuck with you. And what was that like, that conversion? Was it a little bit at a time or was it a big bang kind of moment?
So it started with a St. Paul moment, a Saul to Paul moment. I was lying down. I was very, very sick. And my friend Joseph was praying for me. And I didn't know what prayer was. I had no idea. And in this moment, I felt this, and I didn't know he was praying for me. I was just lying there. And he was trying to help me. And I felt this beautiful presence of expansive peace, and my whole body felt healthy, and I was surrounded by this joy, and I felt like I was outside my body, yet in my body. I was bigger than my body, mm-hmm. and I saw this gray pulsating blob in my mind's eye and heard a sound inside of me, the only sound I've ever heard from God, and it was a loud pop, and I said to my friend Joseph, what was that? What was that peace? What was this experience I just had? And he said, Christine, I was in prayer just now, and Mother Mary came. She looked down upon you from heaven, took pity on you, and asked her son to save you. And it turns out the cancer was gone.
Oh. if that doesn't make you a believer.
Yeah.
When he said that, because you had just experienced something very real that you couldn't deny, when he said that, did it freak you out? Did you instantly know he was right? Was there a quickening in your spirit that said this is true?
Yes. I was really, truly given my life and my soul back in one moment.
So it was like an exorcism of sorts.
Well, and the whole story, there's many mystical things and intrigue that happened around that whole story at that time. And that is in another book, the first one I wrote, called Full of Grace, Miraculous Stories of Healing and Conversion Through Mary's Intercession. And you can research all this on www.queenofpeacemedia.com, queenofpeacemedia.com. But that and six other amazing stories, a former crack addict, a former stripper, my husband, who was a lonely youth. I mean, there's so, and who healed from abortion. There's so much in there. But yeah, I just believed, and that was a grace. And I know that even St. Teresa of Lisieux had doubts, and different people had doubts about God's existence, even though they're saints. And I have yet to doubt since that very moment.
So then you were those people. You were one of those.
Yeah.
Praise be to God.
I didn't understand the church, and I didn't understand all the teachings. That took time. But to believe in them was immediate.
You really had no faith tradition, Protestant, Catholic, but it sounds like Mary ushered you in just to the front door.
Yes, it was, you're in the back door, come to the front, you're a mess, I clean you up.
So then then did you begin to go to Mass and understand the Eucharist? I mean, I can only imagine, because you didn't really have any formation. There wasn't a faith formation there.
None.
Was it overwhelming,
None.
Exciting?
Very exciting, because life had no meaning. I was always wondering, am I reincarnated? I clung to the New Age movement because I didn't want to die. I had a conversation with my mom when I was 8, and I said, what's going to happen when I die? Because I was these crushing feelings of being pressed into my bed. Now I know that was a demon filling me with dread and horror of atheism. And I thought, I'm going to die and be nothing? What's the point? I just had all these questions as a kid. And I said, what's going to happen when we die? And she said, don't worry about it, honey. You become dirt, and you're in the ground, and you nourish a tree, and you decompose. Like, that's the only consolation an atheist can give, that you nourish a tree. And I thought, well, with my luck, I'm not even going to be near a tree.
What has your family said? What was their response after your conversion?
They still don't get it. And my dad, upon announcing what I considered to be great news, said, well, I guess being a Catholic isn't a sin. Kind of a joke.
But, you know, that's the thing. You never know. You never know those seeds planted in your
witness. You never know. I've told them, because they're very stubbornly closed. I said, do me a favor. Just do me a favor. When you die, this is all I ask. If you see a light, if you see Jesus and he says, come, go. Say yes and say thank you. And they're like, for you, we'll do it.
I mean, that's the beauty of families and of faith, that hope that we have for heaven. That's what it's about. And also family, which it's hard because we could so easily dedicate the entire show to your story. And what a blessed day it was for me to be able to hear you speak when we shared the stage
and
together
ditto.
In California.
Yes, ditto.
It was a wonderful experience. And I know you're so busy for the church right now. And part of it, when we talk about family, is ancient traditions, bringing them back and putting them forward. And one of them is in this book, Mary's Mantle Consecration. I had never heard of it. You shared the inspiration for Mary's Mantle Consecration came from your beautiful friend and her tradition and family. Patricia Sandoval is her name, which she has an incredible story in her own right. But in Mexico, El Manto de María is what it's called. It began in small barrios, in those intimate places where family after family had faith. And I just teared up reading about this. Could you explain to those that don't know what exactly the tradition was and is?
So this is a new book based on an old tradition, an old consecration that Brooke mentioned, began in small barrios towns in Mexico, where people would go from home to home for 46 days, the number 46 representing the number of stars that God placed on Our Lady of Guadalupe's mantle in that church-approved apparition. And so a woman would take a green cloth, which is the mantle, the cloak that's on Mary, and day after day sew another yellow star onto a gold star onto the mantle each day that they would go into a home, pray a rosary, and offer their lives to God through the Blessed Mother. And so nowadays we can't travel from home to home, and when they were in a home, they'd place the cloak over the person or family in that home as they prayed, and so beautiful, until all the stars were on her mantle, and in the end they'd consecrate themselves to the Blessed Mother and place that mantle on a statue in the church. So nowadays, with our busy lives and our separate homes, we can't do that in North America unless we have a very unique town. So this is done in a virtual means. You can do it by yourself with your family or in a whole parish congregation, and you'll have like 150 people sign up in these parishes doing Mary's Mantle Consecration. So the full title is Mary's Mantle Consecration, A Spiritual Retreat for Heaven's Help. It's a book and a workbook endorsed by Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone and Bishop Myron Cotta. And it's so powerful. I had no idea that this would take off the way it has, but it's very unique consecration, and that other consecrations, you're learning about the beauty of Mary and her intercession and what the saints have said, and then you consecrate yourself to Mary. This one is about you and your transformation. It has videos included of myself speaking and Deacon Dave Leatherby each week that you can watch on YouTube or purchase. And then there's four things involved which make it so powerful. And these four things bring down grace like nothing else. And one is the rosary. It's the greatest prayer, the most powerful prayer next to the Holy Mass. One is you have a day or more of fasting, which also brings exorbitant graces that even prayer alone cannot. Meditate on a virtue or a gift of the Holy Spirit each day. So you read what sometimes is people's favorite part of these poetic meditations on the virtue, and you try to incorporate it into your life each day. 46 of them representing the 46 stars. Then you go to confession, and then you consecrate yourself to Mary. So what's happening is all these miracles, and I just receive reports of miracle after miracle. I believe it's because you're doing these things that just demand grace, as it were.
Yes.
I mean, grace is not something we can count on, but in a sense, all these things we are promised through the church and through tradition and through scripture that they transform those we're praying for if they're open to grace, and they transform us.
I want to break down the four practices. You mentioned the rosary. We begin with that, and you say on each of the 46 days of this retreat, a star is added to Mary's mantle. We adorn her with bright stars because she greatly appreciates our efforts and is with us in every moment of our journey to consecration. And so the stars, too, does that represent once a day we pray the rosary every day?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Every day that you pray the rosary and you meditate on a gift, which lasts about 2 minutes, it's just a spiritual reading of 2 minutes, you add a star to her. And if you're doing it as a parish, what happens is you're assigned a fast day. And on that fast day, you're a star on Mary's mantle. And everyone, let's say 150 people sign up in your parish, you receive the benefit that day of every single person's rosary. So you've got 140 rosaries plus your fasting all directed toward you. And people are sometimes floating on air on that day, and unimaginable things happen. So it's a beautiful gift when you do it as a parish of lifting each other up. And yes.
And the second one is fasting. And we're just through rosary, and I'm already floating hearing you. But then the fasting, I took this with me as I made a holy hour and I was adoration and sitting and reading this. Because again, I have both the journal, the workbook that goes along with, and the book that explains. And so number two in the practice is fasting. And you say fasting for at minimum one day is an important component of the retreat. The suggested fast is bread and water. Now, of course, for those with health limitations, you can modify that. And then you go into the biblical account accounts of fasting and how powerful, potent it is. Jesus fasting from food and water for 40 days and nights. And the spiritual practice reaches into the core of our being. And I really meditated on that because aside from the penitential holidays and our obligation of fasting, I don't make fasting a regular part of my life. And so I decided to begin to do that. And I think it may have been the workbook. One of the areas I was reading, you have a priest sharing about how he fasts twice a week. And what he fasts for are victims of sexual abuse in the church and for the church in general, for vocations. I just thought that was so beautiful. And like what you're saying, it's multiplied when we do this as a group or a parish.
Yes. I mean, even as a family, you'll see changes in your family. There's this one woman, she did this consecration and offered it up for her husband, who was in a verbally abusive alcoholic far from the church. And at the end of the consecration, he got down on his knees, apologized to her and the kids, and has now been going back to Mass for a year. Yeah.
That's a miracle.
People are reporting miracles. My son, he was smoking pot every day. He had wanted nothing to do with the church. He's now going to confession each month. He doesn't want the drug, that kind of thing.
And in the workbook, because I'm opening, I have both. You every day you go through a different star. And then with that is a spiritual exercise. So let's take the seventh star and you have endurance. And the spiritual exercise, reflect on all the moments of crisis in your life when you felt like you could not endure. You could not see a way out. Think of how the Lord carried you through every single one of those times and thank him for his care and provision. And you go on and say, ask now for Jesus and Mary to give you their endurance when hardships strike and you approach an unknown future, and a journaling space, which is fantastic. So we are to write during this as well.
Yes. And that is optional. I will say everybody has limited amounts of time or they have reasons why they would want to add the workbook, which you just read from, or just do. There's two books involved. The one book that's absolutely necessary contains the 2-minute meditations on a virtue or a gift, and that's Mary's Mantle Consecration, A Spiritual Retreat for Heaven's Help. And then if you want to go deeper, which you just read from, Brooke, where you really want to read a saint quote, read a biblical quote about the virtue or gift, and be asked these questions and ponder more to incorporate endurance or some other virtue into your life, then you get the workbook, which is Mary's Mantle Consecration Prayer Journal. If you like to journal, you can journal, or you can just read from it. I don't journal, so for me, I would get the I don't make things for me, right? So I would get the book and just, I love the saint quotes, so I would probably just read over and over that saint quote. But there's something in it for everyone if you choose the optional prayer journal that goes with it.
So no pressure.
No pressure.
It's not going to be a deal breaker.
Yeah, you don't have to journal. I can just imagine somebody like me listening going, not going to do it.
But that's nice. Yes. And the book is really beautifully done. It's not too thick or dense and it's easy to read. And again, so I want to, before we wrap up, just go through these last two of the practices you have, as you mentioned, contemplation of virtues and the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and how Mary possessed in her soul every virtue and the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit to their fullest human extent. So through the days, you flesh this out and it's really beautiful. And then finally, that number 4 practice is consecration to Mary. And that's the end goal.
Yes, and you go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation before that. So you can just imagine how you might change. Things that you thought you could never get rid of, struggles, people you've prayed for, you've never seen a change. You will likely see many changes within yourself, and if those you're praying for are open to grace, you may very well see miracles in those you're praying for.
Oh, that's beautiful. And, you know, again, when I think of the top of the show in the beginning of our interview and the story that you shared about your own life, it really is incredible how God uses the most unsuspecting among us to do the most powerful work.
Mm. Yeah. Unworthy. I'm a case in point that we can change, that people can change.
And that's the beauty of consecration, is it draws us deeper. It does change us and helps us to reform. And the beauty of this also is you break down the starting dates, the Marian feast day, the consecration date, and year round you can do this. So if you're thinking, oh, I just missed Our Lady of Guadalupe, that's okay.
You can begin
really almost every month of the year here, beginning, you've got February 8th, March, April, May, June, that you can get started. And I think that's neat too, when you're trying to coordinate parishes as well.
And I looked up the dates. You end on a Marian feast day if you can, and there's feast days all the time. So if you decide to get the book and you go to queenofpeacemedia.com, and it's on Amazon too, you just look up Mary's Mantle Consecration. And if you start on November 17th, you end on New Year's Day, January 1st, which is the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. So it'll be a great way to bring in, usher in the new year if you decide to get it and start on the 17th of this month.
I love it. And we'll link it up. And what a beautiful early Christmas gift as well, or even Epiphany gift to give someone. Before we go, I need to ask you, and I want to get you on again to talk about your latest book. I just received a copy, but it's one of those I thought I need to study this first because it looks intense and powerful. It's called The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience.
This book, according to those who endorsed it, which is former Bishop to the Queen of England, Mark Mallett, Monsignor Ralph Chifo, Dr. Mark Miravalle, who's like the number one Marian theologian probably in the world right now. So it is probably it's a seminal work, and it's flying into the world. People don't know what's going on. They don't understand why the church is crazy. They don't understand why the world is crazy. And this gives a lot of answers. God intends to intervene with something called the warning or the illumination of conscience. So all the prophets, some saints, popes, modern day mystics have talked about a moment in time when every person in the world in an instant is going to see their soul in the light of their sin and their sin's consequences. And it's a correction of conscience for the world. And mystics are saying quite convincingly it's going to happen in our lifetime, in our generation. So this book is called The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. Get it for everyone you know at Christmas, because people need to be prepared for this. It's a life and death, soul or death matter. This is the most important thing I think God has ever had me do.
Mark Mallett, you just brought him up. This is what he says about your book. He says, there's a coming, a prodigal son moment for our world. It is a moment of awakening, of illumination, of warning, when every person alive will see their souls in the light of divine truth and how we are up to our knees in the pig slop of sin. It is the culmination of divine mercy, the day of mercy, before God purifies the world in that day of justice. Christine Watkins has done a tremendous work in gathering the voices of the church who have woven this thread of light and warning that may befall the world sooner than we think. The Warning is an invaluable and timely manual on understanding what is coming and how to prepare. That is powerful.
Yeah, he did a beautiful job of synthesizing its importance and what it is and why God would do it.
Any quick takeaways then in terms of what's going on in the church? There's, as we know, a lot of question and confusion. Does this play into the prophecies that you see laid out in the book?
It does. I do want to say that I hate to give you bad news, but things are going to get worse.
Okay.
You're going to see the church move into a direction that you would have never thought possible. Mm. And
for the faithful, it's challenging, because we know when we look back through history that we are in a boat with some rocky seas that has not changed, but are we prepared? And what is our responsibility and our answer to this time? And I think you do a beautiful job of trying to equip us with
yes.
what these mystics
yes.
are receiving. And yes. I think it's important too. Is there an imprimatur? I know you've just mentioned some incredibly credible powerhouse names, but there are some mystics where they haven't
right.
been approved. It sounds like you've done a very good job of being.
Yeah, I was very selective. It's very important not to go with false prophecy, because it's very subtle. False prophecy is
right.
very subtle. And so if any mystic was condemned by the church, they were not allowed in there, or if they didn't have enough support. What I do, because I know, as if it were me, I'd want to read about the source and not just take it hook, line, and sinker what someone said. So in the back of the book is a full biography of the person, the prophet, and who they are and how they were supported.
Okay, that's fantastic. It's out now, so we can pick it up, give it a read, and I definitely want to get you back. So will you join us back in January?
Of course.
Well, God bless you. I have such a difficult time in leaving it there because from your own testimony to the consecration to this work you're doing now, there is just such a rich wealth of valuable information. And we're so thank you for the treasure of you and the gift of your service and your time.
And thank you for the treasure of you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Christine.
Thank you again to my guest on today's show, Christine Watkins. That website, queenofpeacemedia.com. And looking forward to having Christine back with us again, hopefully in January. Also, a big thank you to our Podbean patrons. Earlier in the program, I mentioned going to producer Mark's house, making a video with our team, trying to put together more forms of media to be able to reach hearts and minds and engage and foster community in the beauty of the church. And that's made possible through our Podbean patrons, our GTR good friends of the show. And asking as you put together your gift list that you might consider our program in that. The beautiful thing is any amount helps, whether that's $5 a month, $25 a month. A big thank you to our 22 Podbean patrons and counting. And I will link up the information for you in the show notes. All you need to do is click on the link to become a GTR good friend of the show. God bless you, friends. And a big thank you to my producer, not just radio producer, but now our video producer as well from cominghomestudio.com. Thank you for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, clearly. So for any audio video needs you may have, check him out again at cominghomestudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.